Ready to roll, John? Good morning. Good to see everybody out this morning. We're ready to start class, and we are on lesson number 9, and it is about gossip. So we'll start in just a minute. Jansen Lynn is going to word our opening prayer for us.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the beautiful day we have to worship you once again. Lord, we pray that you'll be with us as we study from your word. Lord, we pray that as we look at this subject of gossip, we have open hearts and minds. And Lord, we pray that our speech is always pleasing to you and edifying to everyone around us. Lord, we thank you for all the many blessings you give us. We pray that you never take those for granted. Most of all, we thank you for your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Okay, well, through the help of modern science, sitting at the medical center or the Graves Gilbert Clinic for 2.5 hours yesterday morning, I'm on steroids and antibiotics, and I feel great this morning. I guess I'm getting through a sinus infection, and I got Matt to lead the singing this morning, so I think I'm going to be okay, but glad to be here. And glad to be with you in class. Really have enjoyed the study. I think it's been great. We got three lessons to go. No, four lessons to go, and the quarter's over. And it just always seems to go that way. It just goes so fast. And I think, for me anyway, a lot of these topics have been very interesting. And if I hope for you, I know for Gary and I both, that it's been a way for us to dig deeper into some of these things that commonly can be problems for us that we all need to take a close look at within ourselves and see how we can do better to make sure that we're pleasing in sight of God. So gossip, y'all think that's a problem? Did I get an amen? Okay, here we go. Get y'all started, see. That means you're going to participate in class. Gossip is a problem. Do you think gossip could be a problem in the church? Do I get an amen? Getting nodding heads again. Okay, so we know it's not a good thing. So what I'm going to try and get us to think about and talk about and consider this morning and then on Wednesday night. This morning we're going to talk about the negative side of gossip. We're going to try and define it in a crystal clear sort of way. Because I don't think I can't believe that any of us would ever want to participate in gossip intentionally and be a gossip or a backbiter. But I do believe that there are times that we get engaged in conversations, and sometimes our emotions can cause us to go in places that we might not want to. Would y'all agree with that? Shannon's nodding over here, and I got a lot of nods. So, you know, I think the thing that we got to do first and foremost, and we've got to talk about, you know, the kinds of principles that we've talked about throughout the entire study. And that is, there are very fundamental basics that we need to be thinking about with regard to our Christian character that should help direct us in some of these things that we potentially have problems with. So that's part of what I'm going to talk a little bit about this morning. Proverbs. It is the book of wisdom. And it is the book that is defined as revealing the ability to live life skillfully. I like that. If you think about Proverbs and you think about what it teaches us, the ability to live life skillfully. And if we take the things that Proverbs say and we take the things and all the scriptures that we read, how everything connects, and Gary's mentioned this before too, that, you know, there's things, and I'm sure it's true for you too, that I'll read it, and I'll see something that I've never seen before. I'll read it, and I'll recognize, Shannon, how it connects to another verse that I never thought about, how those two verses connected before. And that only comes through what? Study. That only comes through study. It doesn't come from my Bible sitting on the counter every time. I mean, I go home from worship service and it sits there, and then I don't pick it up again until I come back. I don't connect those verses that way. So I've got to individually make a decision that it's important to me to understand what it says so that gossip's not a problem for me. I want you to look in the book on page 69 because I think it's a really strong opening paragraph. I want to just read that and get you to read it with me. Lesson 9, Gossip, page 69, the first paragraph. God created man as a social being. For the most part, people do not like to be alone, and as a rule, we like to be with other people and we like to talk to other people. The ability to communicate brings some great blessings to mankind. And isn't that true? Isn't it great to be able to share a conversation or encourage someone or be encouraged by someone? How good does that make you feel? It really warms your heart. Makes you feel great. Makes you feel valued. You know, we can use our words in ways that are very positive, but the devil also uses human communication as a means of spreading sin and grief. We are all painfully aware of damage that can be caused by our words. Has anybody ever been on the giving end of damaging words to somebody else? You don't have to raise your hand. Have we? Has anybody ever been on the receiving end of damaging words? Yes. So how does it feel to be on the receiving end of damaging words? Not good, Naomi says. It hurts. Betrayal. What else? It can damage somebody's reputation. How many times have false accusations against somebody else had negative impact on somebody's reputation? And once it's out there, it's hard to get it back. Right? It's just like those words. You know, you say something and you know, blah, 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 blah. It's out there and it's out there. And as hard as you might try to reel them back in, you can't, can you? And you can say, I'm sorry. And you can say, oh, I really didn't mean that. Okay, well, why'd you say it? All right? Remember the old plaque that I told you about before we were talking about the tongue that one of my bosses gave me? Y'all remember that? A closed mouth gathers no foot. And sometimes, you know, that's what we really need to give thought and consideration to before we say something that we can't take back. We can apologize for it, but we're never really going to be able to get it back. And you know, generally, what is accomplished by saying that thing that is hurtful to someone else? What's accomplished? Nothing, nothing. Makes a person feel bad that you said them to. And if we have any conscience at all, and we are really trying to be a Christian, it's going to bother us too. So, when we look at the book of Proverbs, and we think about our character, and we think about the things that we say, let's go to Proverbs, the first chapter, in verses 1 through 7. Proverbs, the first chapter, in verses 1 through 7. The wisdom of Solomon, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. Again, this is talking to us as children of God and part of how we're supposed to define our character. To know wisdom and instruction. How do we know wisdom and instruction? Through God's Word. To perceive the words of understanding. To discern and understand and take and apply. To receive the instruction of wisdom. And how many times does the book of Proverbs talk about wisdom? It's the wisdom book. It's the knowledge, life, living wisdom book. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And you think about how all those things apply to the type of thinking we need to do when we talk about what we're going to say. To give prudence to the simple, to the young, knowledge and discretion. And when we're younger, don't we usually need a little bit more discretion? But that's generally when we don't have it in great supply. Right? And some of us don't ever get over that. A wise man, verse 5, will hear and increase in learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel to understand a proverb and an enigma or a mysterious, difficult thing to understand. Now, a lot of the Bible is really straightforward. Some of it's a little more difficult. And how do we figure out what is difficult? Study. You got to put the time in, right? You have to put the time in to be able to understand. Verse 5 again, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. What does that mean? We're going to study, we're going to try and increase our understanding, and we're going to seek wise counsel. How do you seek wise counsel? More study. How about talking to one another? You know, we said a few minutes ago that there's not anything wrong with us interacting with one another, right? What about the concept of, you know, somebody coming over to my house and we sit down and we talk about the Bible? Jansen coming over to my house and we sit down and we talk about the Bible. We talk about a topic. We talk about how that impacts my life and his life and what I've seen and what he's seen. What a concept, right? Well, I'm too busy. I don't have time to do that. What are we busy doing? Are we increasing knowledge? Are we trying to get closer to God? Are we trying to get closer to one another? See, if I've got that kind of relationship with him, or Tanner, or Gary, or Mike, then I got something beyond just seeing them here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'm getting to know them on a more personal level. I'm reaching out to them to try and encourage them and asking them to encourage me. They encourage me by wanting to be a part of that. So how much time are we committing to gaining wisdom and understanding? And then verse 7, you take all of that, and then it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There's what it all gets down to right there. But then fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's a couple of things that Proverbs talks a lot about. Wisdom and fools. It's kind of like where it talks about in Matthew. You know, there's two paths that you can take. You can take the wide path or the narrow path. Also, Matthew, it talks about you can serve two masters. You can serve God or you can serve Satan. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So, do we fear the Lord? Do we fear the Lord, and how is that reflected in our lives? How should the fear of the Lord be reflected in our lives? How should it be? By our actions, Brian says. What else? That's a good one. What else? If I truly fear the Lord, how are people going to see that in my life? Actions, for sure. What are other? Give me some examples. Is it a struggle for us to get here? You know, is it, I'm at the last minute and I'm running in the door? Yeah, there sometimes it happens, I understand. But is it important for me to be here? You know, it is for me. It's really important for me to be here. Because I want to be in this. I want to be a part of this. I want to be engaged in this class. When Gary's teaching or when I get to teach, I want to be right in the middle of it. And I've got a lot to learn still. Shannon, you got a lot to learn still. But you know what? It seems like the more I study, the more I realize I need to learn so much more. But at the end of the day, that's what it's got to be all about, that we fear the Lord. Otherwise, what does it say we are? A fool. A fool. And, you know, some of these other things we talked about, like pride and hypocrisy, you know, if you don't think that any of us are not subject to being a fool, pride, hypocrisy, right? So we can go there real easy. It's just based on the choices we make absolutely every day and what people see in our lives. Okay, the second part of what I want us to think about as we get into gossip is the very important tongue. You know, tongue is really cool. I mean, it does so many things for us. It provides us taste. It gives us the ability to communicate in a very positive way. But it can also be very negative. And James, the third chapter, talks about that. You know, it's funny in the second chapter where it talks about faith and how faith is reflected in works and how that our faith should be shown by the works that we involve ourselves with, that we engage ourselves with. Well, you know, the tongue, in the same way, it's a lot the same. So let's look at verses 1 through 12 first. And think about the intent of the tongue. And think about gossip. And think about positive things or negative things. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect or complete man, mature, and able to bridle the whole body. Does anybody ever stumble? Yes, I'm raising my hand. Does anybody ever say things that they shouldn't say? Yes. You know, and who, just side note, who do we normally say those things we shouldn't say to before we'll say them to anybody else? Our spouse, the people that we love, right? And sometimes just blurt it out there, Brad, and not really. You're mad about something else, and you say something to Renee, and it's like, why did I say that? Honey, I'm sorry. Brad said I was listening this morning. Now, she told me. I told her what we were talking about. No, I'm just kidding. But we are not perfect. But we've got to strive to be right in the things that we do. And we are going to stumble. Verse 3, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. And again, give us an example of something that we can relate to. I've ridden horse a few times, not a lot, but some of you in here I'm sure have. You put that in their mouth and you can give them a tug and it's a big old, what's a horse weigh? What's an average horse weigh? Somebody know? 1,000 pounds? So it's you against 1,000 pounds and you got 2 straps and a piece of metal. And it's going to make a difference in the way that horse is going to go. It's pretty powerful. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. So again, one guy steering and the rudders takes the ship where it needs to go. Even so, think about the tongue. It is a little member of our body and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. So it's talking about the potential problems that the tongue can cause. Now think about us as Christians. Think about what we just studied in Proverbs, the first chapter in verses 1 through 7. Talking about all those things that should be a part of who we are. And then in verse 7 saying that we're going to look for wisdom. And either we're going to desire wisdom or we're going to be a fool. So tie all that into what we're talking about right here. The tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, unrighteousness. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature or existence. And it is set on fire by hell and the devil. That's very powerful. That's very powerful. And it's really the foundation for what we need to think about as it relates to gossip. And we think about gossip. And we think about what it is. And we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. And we think about the tongue associated with hell and Satan. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity or unrighteousness. And we can't be righteous and unrighteous. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed, has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And that directly relates to some of the things we were talking about earlier, that we can do with our tongue and the things that we say to other people. And we don't want to be that person, right? With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both salt water and fresh. So what's that saying? If I've got both of those things going on, what am I? A hypocrite. And how many times, I'm so glad, how many times have we been in situations where there's people that you've talked to about the church? In the past, I've experienced this. Some people want to use it for an excuse. Let's just get that out of the way to start with, right? But then there's other people that know people at a congregation where you worship. And they say, and you say, hey, I'd love for you to come worship with us. We got a great congregation, really good people. We're all trying to get to heaven. We'd love to have you come visit us for worship service. And they say, well, where do you go? And I say, well, I go to XYZ church down here on this road. Nope. Wouldn't go through the door. Why? Well, I know so-and-so, so-and-so that goes down there. And I'm not going with a bunch of hypocrites. So, like I say, some people are looking for excuses and they never come anyway, right? I mean, they are. But then some people are noticing who we are and how we live in our lives every day. That can be through business relationships. It can be through what else? It could be your next door neighbor. That's a great one. Yeah, you get ready to have a gospel meeting, you want to start inviting some people, and you think, yeah, let me go over here to Joe's door. Are you going to do that? Or you think, ooh, boy, I got on him pretty hard when his dog came over and my bush is a mess, you know. I gave him down the road pretty good. Or whatever it might be. But what opinion, so now the question is, what opinion in this community do people have of us? What opinion as Christians do people have of us? And what kind of ammunition have we given them to build that opinion? Is it positive or is it negative? Do they see us as God-fearing men and women through our actions, through our words, through the things we do and say? Naomi says we have to constantly be on guard because, Proverbs 1:7, we fear the Lord and we want to go to heaven. That's why I'm here this morning, because I've sure made my share of mistakes. But the good news is I know God forgives me and I'm working diligently at trying to do the best I can. But I would hate to think that anybody in this community would not want to be a part of this congregation because of me. And we all, I think, need to have that same kind of attitude. We need to have an attitude of fearing God to the point that we try and subject ourselves to the very best of our ability to His Word and what it says, and let that be reflected in what people see. We can still do our jobs and still be the people that we need to be and work and to neighbors and everybody else. Sometimes we just got to think a little bit before we open that world of iniquity and let it out, because it's so easy to do and it's so hard to get it back. I told you a few weeks ago in another class, unrelated to, well, it's all related, about a business situation that I was involved in where there was somebody here locally that messed up and on a thing, work they were doing for us. It's obvious, you know? And it would have really been easy for me to say, that's this merchandise of mine that cost this much money. You messed it up. What are you going to do? That's not what I did. I did say, what do you think about this? Well, what do you want me to do? That's not my business. It's your business. Here's what I asked you to do, and here's what got done. What do you think we ought to do about this? At the end of the day, he did the right thing. He thanked me for my patience, which has not always been one of my strong suits. Anybody else have trouble with that? Come on, nod your heads. Okay. Because I don't want to see anybody put their hands up. It might be embarrassing. He thanked me for my patience. And then I went on to take advantage of saying, you know, that's something I've been working on, along with a whole lot of other things I need to work on. And here's three scriptures that I've really worked on hard over the course of the last 10 years. So I took what was potentially a very negative situation, for me anyway, and I tried to make it as positive as I possibly could. So that's all I'm saying. Let's try and make every situation the very best that we can, being people that fear the Lord and trying to do what's right. It's just as easy to do what's right as it is to do what's wrong. If we've got the right character, if we've got the right heart. And now the rest of the James reading there in verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Again, think about Proverbs 1:7, and then think about what we just read in James. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So is peace going to be a part of gossip? There's no way it can be. There's no way it can be. So that kind of sets the ground rules there as we think about gossip. A person who chatters or repeats idle talk and rumors, especially about the private affairs of others. Thus, gossip is idle talk and rumors about the private affair of others. A slanderer, the utterance in the presence of another person of a false statement or statements damaging to a third person's character or reputation. The Bible also uses the word talebearer and whisperer. So, gossip, slander. I probably shouldn't say anything, but I heard. Here, I got a lot of people laughing now. So, you should have listened to yourself under your first five words. I probably shouldn't say anything. Why? I've done it. Why do we do that? So we can tell what it is we have heard. Naomi's saying it's wrong. Why else do we do that? Tanner?
I think it gives us some kind of justification. Kind of gives us an out. Say, I probably shouldn't say anything, but that kind of makes us feel a little bit better.
Well, why do we say it, though?
I don't know.
I don't know. Why do we say it? Come on, why do we say it? Now, sometimes that can certainly be the case, to promote ourselves, Ryan said. I'm not for sure, but somebody told me. Why is that a problem? Does this sound like potential gossip or slander? I'm not sure, but somebody told me. Why do we do that? Come on, somebody talk to me. You can raise your hand. They'll bring you the microphone right over here. What's that? Vanity? Vanity can certainly be one of those deals.
I've done this before. And I think for me, it's like I just want information. I just want to know about other people. I want to have that sense of I know what's going on.
Right.
And I don't need to know.
Right. Right, exactly. It's our curiosity a lot of time. And you don't need to know. You got yourself right there. But we do. We like to be informed. We like to feel like we're in the know. We like to, and not necessarily for a bad thing, you know, because I think there's lots of times that we put ourselves in a position that it's not, we did not mean it bad. But so let's say, I'm not for sure, but somebody told me that, blah, 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 and it's not right. And then somebody asks you, hey, did you hear, sir, about this? And do you know anything about that? Well, yeah, I do. And here's what I know. Well, so now it's gone two or three times, and it wasn't from the origin of the situation, and it may not be right. And then this person tells the person that it was originally said about, well, Sarah told me that da-da-da-ba, boom, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden it's not right, and this person's thinking, why'd she do that? Right? I got one over here, guys. Why'd she do that? I got another one over here. Come on, Jensen. Man, I know you can walk faster than that. Okay, over here.
I'm in complete agreement with her. I mean, we have this sense of curiosity, but I think that can also be stemmed from pride, because if we don't know, we feel like that we're not as important as somebody that might know, even though it's really none of our business to begin with.
Good one.
That's just what I was going to say, to be included.
That
vanity, as they said, and also you got to know how to handle it.
Good, excellent comments. So, I think the point that all of you have made is, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, is why is it so important for us to know? Do we really need to know? And if it's an issue of we think we've got to be included or we've got to know, then it is vanity. So we got to be careful of that. And if it involves us in a direct or indirect way, maybe there's a place for us to get into the conversation. But maybe what we also need to do is go to the head of the stream instead of secondhand knowledge as it relates to something. Yes? Wait just a minute, Naomi. Come on down here, James. Y'all need to walk anyway.
I was just going to say, I was in a seminar one time, and we did this little skit. And this one, the first person, they knew what they were going to say. So they tell the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. When it got to that very last person, it was nothing like what the guy told us in the first place.
Right.
And that's exactly what happens sometimes. Things get added, or they get misunderstood. Then you've really blown everything out of shape.
Right.
And it hurts. It hurts. It hurts people that you've said it about. Everything. Reputation. Everything.
So here's the thing. And she's right. I've run those seminars before where we've done that exercise. And here's what happens. Part of it is how somebody interprets something that's said by one person to the next person. Then sometimes that next person, JC, will take his perspective and the way he would say what she said and pass it on Sarah. And then Sarah might have a different piece of information than he does. And then so that's how it ends up being nothing that resembles what started out a lot of times. And so that's where the problems come in. So anyway, hey, I'm going to tell you something, but you can't tell anybody that I told you. How do you think I came up with these? I mean, I didn't read these in the book or get them off the internet. This isn't even in the book. But with good intentions, you know, caring or whatever. Just shut up, Jim. Don't say anything. If anybody wants to ask you anything about that situation, they'll ask you. But we want to be included. We want to be in the know. And some things, they're better off just not knowing. So that's part of what we got to remember. Name told me not to tell anybody, but I've got to tell somebody. Now, I will say that I made that one up. Okay, that's not normally. That's a trust thing right there. If somebody tells me something and it's about them or their situation and they say, I need to tell you something, I say, okay. Because I did economic development for 16 years. And one of the greatest tools that I learned to develop when I was doing that work was keeping my mouth shut about stuff I knew that I wasn't supposed to talk about. Because the newspaper was always trying to find out. Everybody's always trying, we got any new industries looking at coming to town? Nothing I can talk about. Oh, come on. I heard blah, 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 blah. See, they play that game. But when somebody trusts me enough to tell me something and ask me not to share it with anybody else, I will not break that trust. And if they intend to tell somebody else, let them tell somebody else. It's not your place. It's not your thing to tell. And so we just got to be careful of that. Who we should be. Someone that tells you something in confidence that they're going to be able to trust that you will keep it that way. That's what I was talking about just now. That when they tell us, they're not going to have to worry about whether or not it gets shared with the world. They want to tell a friend, so be a friend. Don't share it with others. It's not your information to share or your choice to make. It was theirs. And they trusted you, so don't tell the world. If they find out you didn't keep it confidential, will they trust you in the future? Absolutely not. You have violated their trust and their confidence, no matter how small or how large the thing is they told you. And you've given them a reason. What if it, let's say it's somebody you go worship with. So then what kind of self-position do you put yourself in if that this transpires between you and somebody that goes to church right here? Then what have you done? What have you done? What's that? Yeah, you engage your mouth before you did your brain. Yeah, you've alienated a fellow church member, and it doesn't help them with trust and confidence in the church as a whole, too. So, you know, it's really important. Does anyone ever want to intentionally hurt somebody with idle chatter? Now, here's where it gets down to which way are you going? You know, well, I would like to believe that we're not ever intentionally going to say something to try and hurt somebody. But, you know, when pride and envy and hypocrisy and some of these other things get in the way that we've been talking about, and we find ourselves in that position, then we've got somebody to apologize to, and we've got God to pray to for forgiveness if we intentionally do that to somebody. Has anyone ever hurt from things that are said, whether those things are accurate or they are not accurate? And we've answered that question. The answer is yes. And as Christians, what should our philosophy be regarding the potential for idle chatter or gossip? Don't do it. You know, and I hope that what we will all try and do as we get through this class, through the whole class, and everything we talked about, but gossip in particular, and really I think all of this book kind of builds on itself. You know, as we've gone from topic to topic, there's a lot of these things that build from a previous lesson into the next lesson. Because hypocrisy is certainly one of those things that fits right into gossip. And we got to make sure that we don't let it be a part of who we are. If we're going to say something and we think it might be gossip, it probably is. There's a good indicator. Be sure and taste your words before you spit them out. I kind of like that one. Taste your words before you spit them out. Before speaking, please secure your tongue, or please make sure your tongue is connected to your brain. I think that's pretty good too. And the brain should be driven by Proverbs 1:7. A sharp tongue and a dull mind are usually found in the same head. I'll leave it at that, and we'll pick up on Wednesday night, and we'll go through the scriptures and the rest of the content in the book. Thanks for your attention and contributions today.